Let's go to Romans chapter 1. At least for tonight, we want to look at these passages and maybe continue on the aspect or the topic of faith that we hope to consider tonight. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, Paul says here in Romans chapter 1 that he's not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And there is absolutely a salvation in the gospel. Amen. It's important to rightly divide that salvation.
Right. Right.
That salvation is not that you believe and it's by that belief that you go from eternal perdition to in heaven with the Lord.
Right.
But there's absolutely a powerful, for it is the power of God unto salvation, a powerful deliverance for the child of God that believes the gospel. And we need to really intertwine our idea of faith and belief, because belief is an external manifestation of faith.
Right.
And we believe in Jesus Christ, and we make a profession of faith, and we join the church. But belief and faith is a way of life.
Yes.
That's what he says at the end of verse 17, right? The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of people, especially in the Reformed camp, that say that faith is how you get life. You exercise faith. Again, that exercising of faith may have a little bit different definition depending on who you talk to, whether it's praying a prayer or simply belief or confession. But essentially, that faith is what gains you eternal life. Now, faith gets you access into another dimension of life,
Amen.
If you will, gets you a greater access into its justification by faith, right? In Romans chapter 5, that we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. So faith is an access point to a greater degree of blessings and understanding of the gospel. But faith is not for getting life. Faith is for living life.
Amen.
And who's it for? It's for the just, right? And who has faith? Those that have been born again.
Amen.
Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So therefore, those that have faith are already born again, are already saved.
Amen.
And notice how the righteousness, justification has to do with righteousness. That has to do with the declaration of righteousness. And how is the righteousness of God revealed? It's from faith to faith.
Yes, right.
You have to have faith to be able to have righteousness revealed
right.
to you, because otherwise the message doesn't apply. Just like the gospel. The gospel is only good news to those who it's applicable to.
Amen.
Right? And it's applicable to the just, who have been made just. Now, we're not going to get into the courtrooms of justification tonight, but there is a justification that's performed by the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us, declares us just before God in heaven.
Amen.
And those that have been made just before God receive the new birth and have faith, okay? So it's the just that live by faith. Now, let's keep that in mind and go to Habakkuk chapter 2, where this is originally quoted from. Habakkuk chapter 2, and if you've read the book of Habakkuk, this is a struggle, an internal struggle, first of all with Habakkuk, and then a dialogue with the Lord, with him trying to reconcile himself to all of the wickedness in the culture around him. He sees men that are living in a wicked way, but they appear to be prospering. He's saying, Lord, you know, why are you allowing all of this to happen? Why aren't you judging these people that are living in disobedience? And that's his first question in the first four verses. And then God replies. He said, look, I know you're struggling now, but it's going to get worse, buddy. The Chaldeans are coming. The Babylonians are coming. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And in response to that, you know, then there's a second reply there with Habakkuk still struggling with God who's holy. He can't look upon evil, but yet he says that he's going to judge God's people with a wicked nation of the Chaldeans. And notice what Habakkuk kind of ends his second reply with in Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he, the Lord, will say unto me and what I shall say when I am reproved. In other words, Lord, I need you to explain to me why you're doing things the way that you're doing them. And God answers it. Verse 2, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. And then verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. There's an additional word there in Habakkuk that was not precisely given to us in Romans chapter 1. Now I want you to think about faith for a minute. Okay, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And the Trinity, we have three members of the Trinity, but they are all one God. And it's amazing to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit resides in us, but Jesus Christ resides in us. He's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's in us. But yet, Jesus is in heaven. God is in heaven. But yet, he's in the heart of every single child of God. And because God lives in us, and because God is characterized by faith, because faith is an attribute, a fruit of the Spirit. So that's an attribute of God, right? So his faith is in us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
God is in us,
right.
And God's faithfulness and his faith is in us.
Amen.
And we live by his faith in us.
Amen.
Right? We live by his Spirit in us. The just shall live by his faith. He tells them in the verse right before that, that I'm going to tell you about things that are going to occur, but the time is not yet. In other words, you're going to have to wait. And by the way, while you're waiting, you know, you're probably not just going to be sitting patiently and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, it's going to get worse.
Yes.
If you think it's bad now, you're going to get worse. It's going to get worse, and you're going to have to wait to see deliverance and salvation. And Habakkuk, how are you going to endure? If you're struggling now, how are you going to endure when it gets even more challenging?
That's right.
And he says, the just, which Habakkuk was among that group,
amen.
Right? Those that were children of God and born again and justified by Jesus Christ. He was among that group, and we hope to be among that group. And how do you endure that? The just shall live by his faith, by God's faith that he implanted in us, but now it's up to us to work out what God worked in, right?
That's right.
That's what he says in Philippians chapter 2.
Right.
You work out your salvation. You work out what God has worked in.
Amen.
And certainly that's true. That's true of faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick and just get the most precise, the most succinct definition of faith that we have in the Scriptures. And we want to go to some other places and maybe end up back in Hebrews chapter 11. But as we're thinking about faith, as we're thinking about, you understand, right, that faith literally is how we live our life. That's what he said. The just shall live by faith. Live by his faith.
Right.
This is how we live our life. And actually in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now why is it impossible without faith to please God? Well, one reason is you're not born again.
That's right.
You're not a child of God. Everything, even if you someone, let me put it like this. If someone that is not a child of God, that is not born again, performs some version of a charitable deed, that is still, even though someone might benefit from that action, that is still not pleasing to God. Now, it's beneficial for other people, but it's not pleasing to God because they're not doing it in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Think about that in regards to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous.
Yes.
God testifying of his gifts, but he being dead yet speaketh. Now, if you go back and read that account in Genesis, it says that unto Abel and unto his sacrifice he had respect. But unto Cain and to his sacrifice he had not respect. And the wording there is very important. The reason why Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable before God is because he was not acceptable before
God.
There
you go. Amen.
And the reason why he brought forth a sacrifice that was not acceptable was an evidence that he was already not accepted.
Right.
So what came out externally was evidence of the internal.
Amen.
But even if Cain went and he saw Abel being blessed by God in a material way, and he went, instead of offering the fruit of the ground, he went out and he killed a lamb just like Abel did, God still would not have been pleased with that sacrifice.
Amen.
Because the problem was not with the sacrifice. The problem was with Cain.
Amen.
He didn't have faith because he was not a child of God. Yeah, he's actually one of those people that is described as being of that wicked one.
Yes.
Okay? What I'm saying is, that is an evidence of the internal state that evidences whether they are born again or whether they are not a child of God. Okay? And that's really the teaching of faith and belief all throughout the New Testament, right? He that believeth hath everlasting life. He that believeth is born of God. Belief is an external manifestation of internal faith.
Right.
So if you display that external manifestation, that's an evidence that internally you have faith. Mm-hmm. Internally you are a child of God.
Amen.
Well, the exact same truth is true of evil deeds, just like with Cain. Someone that lives in a very ungodly way, that is evidence against them that they've not been born again. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone that performs those actions is not born again. It is simply an external manifestation of an inner state, is what I'm saying. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's true in the very binary dividing line between elect and non-elect.
Right.
But it's also very true in the individual child of God's life as well.
Amen.
Actually, it says in, I believe it's in the book of, toward the end of the book of Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
That's right.
And I believe that's in the context of some of the Christian liberty discussions, where essentially he says, look, whether you regard this day or you don't regard this day, that's up to your own personal conviction. But whatever you are convicted of, you be fully persuaded in your own mind.
Right.
And then he says, hey, you need to believe it. And if you don't believe it and you're not doing it by faith, then that's not pleasing to God. Okay? Now let's go back to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is not just a wishful fairy dust kind of feeling.
Right.
Okay. And I didn't want to use the word hope there, because sometimes we have the incorrect usage of the word hope. We use hope like wish, but that's not how the Bible uses hope.
Amen.
The Bible describes hope as a confident expectation. We have a confidence to believe that the object of our hope or the end result of our hope will be accomplished. So it's not, hope is not a wishful feeling. It is based just like hope's intertwined with faith, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Again, we use hope in our language to describe just a wishful thing that it's a low probability that it might occur, but I hope that in spite of the low probability, it really might just work out. Yeah. The Bible doesn't use that term that way, okay? But faith is not just a wishful feeling of ignoring the facts and just hoping, wishing things get better. It is based on substance, and it's based on evidence. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now think about that word substance. Sub means under. Stance speaks of something with stability and strength. It literally means like a sub floor, a girding under, or a foundation.
Foundation.
Faith is the, if you'll allow me to put it like this, now faith is the foundation of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But what's so unique about this, evidence, is that this evidence is valid. It's true. It is something we can put confidence in, but we can't see it with our natural eye.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to live, if we're going to base our entire life off of faith, which is, that's how we're supposed to live. The just shall live by faith. And I have a witness of the Holy Spirit, just like Abel did when he met, when he did those good works and made that sacrifice before God. He obtained witness that he was righteous. That's justification by faith in his heart.
Yes.
He had a witness in his heart by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit testified that he was a child of God, and he felt that assurance and that peace.
Amen.
So that is real, and that is evidence. And if you felt that, you can place confidence in that. But do you realize that even though that is everything that your life is based on, we still cannot see God?
That's right.
With our eyes, with our natural eyes, we cannot see God here in this world. Now, I hope if you're walking by the Holy Spirit, I hope you can see God all throughout this world. Because I'll tell you, He's everywhere. He's everywhere you look.
Amen.
In creation, in kind acts, in your great smiling face. God's everywhere here in this world if you're looking with the right eyes. But we cannot, there were a group of people that looked upon God manifest in the flesh in first century Judea. But you know what? I believe that that man was resurrected from the dead and lives today, but I cannot see him.
Amen.
Now, there were some people that saw him resurrected. They saw it. I haven't seen it, but I believe that he's alive.
Amen.
But you know what? That sounds so foolish to someone that doesn't have faith.
Amen. Yeah.
Why? Because the only thing that they can see in the world around them is something they can tangibly verify, that they can see with their own eyes, that they can test with some scientific method. That's why, notice verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, isn't that interesting? The things that I see were made by things I cannot see, but yet I believe the things I see were made by the one I cannot see.
Yeah.
Now you try to explain that to someone who doesn't have faith. That's why it takes faith to please Him. That's why it takes faith to believe that. But I tell you, I don't know about you, but to me, it's very hard to live a life without the ability to, in my flesh, tangibly verify what I'm trusting in.
Right.
That's hard for me. And that's why faith is hard. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are given this little brief parenthetical statement. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For the first 5 years of my career, I was in the auditing area. And our motto in auditing was trust, but verify. In other words, yeah, if I have a problem that I have encountered, I'm more than happy to believe anything that you tell me, as long as you have some documentation to back it up. Sure, sure, I'll believe anything that you tell me, but with all due respect, your word's not good enough. Because guess what? People lie, don't they? That's how frauds occur, by the way, and that's why we're there to audit them. I'm willing to trust you as long as I can look at something that I can verify and reach the same conclusion that what you're telling me is true. And that's what we want in our own nature, right? Because I want to. What am I relying on at that point? I'm not relying on my trust of the word of someone. I'm relying on my sight of the evidence. I'm relying upon my verification of the evidence. But that is what is the different dynamic of faith. Because you are validating evidence. It's just faith you can't see. It's just evidence you can't see. And I'll tell you, the only way that you can validate or examine evidence you can't see is by faith, right? That's the only way you can examine it. Notice the context in which, though, the Apostle Paul gives this brief little parenthetical statement that I know you've heard quoted all the time. For we walk by faith, not by sight. But verse 7 is a parenthetical statement, and we're not going to read all of this, but Paul says in verse 4, for we know that in this tabernacle we do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He says in verse 6, and he repeats it again in verse 8, we are confident. And then in verse 6, we know. He knows. What does he know? Paul believes by faith, with every fiber of his being, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
That when I die, that's why he could say to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Christ that my life is all about.
Right. Amen.
But how did he believe that? By faith. By faith. Now, the Apostle Paul had the unique experience of seeing the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. He'd seen him. So he had that sight, but he didn't walk his entire life with Jesus beside him. That sight now was turned into faith, if you will. Something very important to remember is that faith, hope, confidence, trust is really only as good as the object of your faith.
Amen. Yes.
Okay? And when we join the church, when you profess a belief in Jesus Christ, what you're depicting by baptism is you're depicting the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are depicting your belief that he was immersed in the grave, if you will, and he was resurrected in life. But you're also professing a belief that action that he performed encompassed in that was a promise that all of God's children would be resurrected.
Amen.
Okay? So you're professing a belief, not just in his resurrection, but in the promise of Jesus Christ that all of God's children will be resurrected.
Amen. Well said.
And the whole purpose of the resurrection is what? For us to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the resurrection hasn't happened yet. And it's not going to happen. And Paul knew that it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. But he did know that even though my body's not going to be resurrected until the second coming, when I die, my soul will immediately be in the presence of the Lord. Now, why did he believe that? Why did he believe that? It's because of the promises of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Why do we believe that this soul of one that passes away goes immediately in the presence of God? Do you remember what Jesus told that thief on the cross right when he was about to die? Today,
amen,
you are going to be with me in paradise.
Right.
Now, his body sure didn't go there. His body hung on that cross.
Right.
And his body died and they buried him just like they did everybody else. But him, the substance of who that thief was, went into the presence of God.
Amen.
When he died. Now, Paul's entire life was based upon this one fact. You know, he talks about in the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. Why do we stand in jeopardy every single day? Why am I enduring all of these things? What does it matter if the dead are not raised? That's what he says in that context of 1 Corinthians 15. In other words, I am basing my entire life and I'm sacrificing temporal, fleshly, lustful pleasures right now. I am deferring my joy right now, if you will, in the flesh, because of a faith that there is going to be greater joy in heaven. I'm deferring my joy right now because of my faith and belief in this fact.
Right.
And he knew, he was confident, that at the end of the day, the object of his faith and the end result of that faith would not be vain and null and void. Okay? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You see, Paul, the just shall live by faith, Paul lived his entire life by faith in Jesus Christ and with the confidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I am willing to suffer. I am willing to have my life hazarded and to be in peril all the time because I'm not going to put myself in just a safe position where I may not be injured. I'm willing to lose my life right now because of I know that if I die serving the Lord, I go immediately in the presence of God. Do you understand? His entire life of sacrificial giving of himself for the kingdom was based upon his faith in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. His faith in the resurrection. His faith in immediately being in the presence of God when he passed away. That's how Paul lived his life. And that's how we're called to live our life.
Right.
Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1. It uses some of the same language it uses in Romans 1, right? Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And by the way, well, no, let's just keep going. Verse 10. But now is made, we need to read verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Saved by grace, not by works. Yea and amen.
Amen.
But now, there is a manifestation or a revelation of that truth by the gospel, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, God's salvation of sinners and what's true in verse 9 had been true all throughout the Old Testament, all the way back to from the beginning of the world. Okay? That had been true. But how was it revealed or manifested? It's by Jesus Christ. But is now made manifest by the appearing of all these prophecies. How is it? You know, Job's struggle. I know it's all the truth, but how can a man be just with God? How is it possible? Well, that was made manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that gospel that gives, that brings life and immortality to light, that is what gives us the knowledge to live by faith. Okay? You can't separate belief from faith.
Right.
Because belief is the external manifestation of faith, but especially belief in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because belief in Jesus Christ is the validation. Again, we believe that he was resurrected from the dead, and the whole reason he did that is to save us to heaven, right?
Yes.
And we place our faith in him. It's like entrusting a deposit to a bank. And you know what? Your confidence, your faith in that bank is only as good as their proven track record in caring for the assets under their control.
That's right.
See, that's what happened during the Great Depression, right? Is that people lost confidence in banks and they wanted to pull everything out. Well, I hope you know that all the money that you have on file with your bank, they don't have that sitting in the vault.
Right.
They don't, because they operate on credit. They operate, that they're assuming that literally all of their people are not going to go ask for all their money one time.
Right.
And by the way, that's why we got in a real big pickle in the Great Depression, right? It's because so many people did.
Right.
It's because they wanted to withdraw. Why? Because they lost confidence in the object of the person that they had entrusted something that was very valuable to them unto. Okay. Now, if you're going to base your entire life on the gospel, upon the truth and the validity that there is, and it really sounds so foolish to the natural man, right? That there was a man that lived, he died, okay, I'm with you thus far, but he was resurrected from the dead. See, that's not something you can tangibly verify. That's not something you can replicate in a scientific experiment. It takes faith to believe that.
Amen.
That's why when someone believes it, that's an evidence that they have faith.
Amen.
Right? But Paul says he has entrusted his faith, and I have deferred temporal, natural, carnal pleasures to sacrifice here because of my faith and confidence in the next world. And can you imagine if, and this is not true, but could you imagine if everything that we read in the Bible, everything that you have felt in your heart, that assurance of salvation, that witness of the Holy Spirit, that sealing of the Holy Spirit, could you imagine that if you died, that literally that was it? Now, if we have entrusted our faith to God and lived our entire life under the assumption and the belief and the confidence that when this world is over, we're going to live with God in heaven, can you imagine how unfaithful the person that you have entrusted that faith to would be, is if he took that faith and knowing the whole time it was just not true. It was just a lie.
Mm.
Paul wasn't concerned about that.
That's right.
Why? Because of his confidence in the object of his faith. And his ability to fulfill what he had promised, right? And to a large degree, look at the example of Abraham. I believe that lesson and all of his experiences teaches faith is about a belief and a confidence in the promises of God, regardless of if they make sense to you or not.
Amen.
Who against hope believed in hope. Didn't make a lick of sense to him, but he believed God anyway. That's faith. That's faith. It is not being able to see it, not being able to verify it. But you know what? Walking by faith anyway. For which cause I also suffered these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. You know, it'd be really embarrassing to have lived your entire life based upon something that you find out at a later date is just a blatant falsehood.
Right.
Just a total lie. I tell you, that'd be pretty embarrassing, right? That'd be something to be ashamed of. Paul says, I am not ashamed because I know at the end of the day, I am not going to have egg on my face.
Right.
Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now notice this. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What was his knowledge based on? I tell you, his knowledge and his hope of eternal life was not based upon anything that he did.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that their assurance of salvation is based on some version of work that they performed. But I'll tell you, the reason that Paul had a confidence and an assurance of salvation is because he knew the whom that he believed in. He knew the whom. And he also knew that whom is able. He is able to keep that which I have committed. What did he commit to it? His faith. His confidence of salvation. And do you think at the end of the day that the Lord will let that end up being vain and empty and be just a blatant falsehood? Of course not.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul had so much confidence in the object of his faith, he said, I know. Not in a bold way. You know, I think sometimes people have... The Bible uses that word, know, as an assurance of salvation. And I don't think it's ungodly to use biblical language.
Amen.
Because God doesn't intend for his children to just walk around questioning all the time, am I a child of God? Am I not a child of God? Doubting their eternal... No, he wants you to know it.
Right.
And how do you know it? By believing the gospel and feeling the assurance of the Spirit once you believe that gospel. It says in 1 John chapter 5, writing to those that believe, that you already believe, but that you may know that you're saved. And by the way, keep on believing too.
Yes. Right.
I know whom I have believed. And the reason that he knew it was not because he knew how sincere his prayer was,
right,
how sincere his works were. He knew that Jesus Christ did all the works of salvation from start to finish. He's able to save to the uttermost, and guess what? He keeps his promises. And he promised salvation before the world began. And he's going to keep his promises. That he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That security, that's the foundation. Now faith is the foundation of things hoped for. That foundation. And that's why it's so important to know the gospel, right? It's because if you don't know that, if you don't know how able the object of your faith is, then your faith is going to be a lot weaker than it should be here in this world.
Amen.
You need to have a clear vision of who the object of your faith is. And then, I'll tell you, you can be just as confident as Paul. I know who I believe in. And I am persuaded. You know, he was fully persuaded.
Yes.
There was not anything that was going to change his opinion. But you know what? The whole time that he was that confident, do you understand the only thing he really had was faith? You know, he didn't have something he could go out and tangibly verify But I want to ask you, does it feel real to you? I mean, have you felt the witness and the testimony of the Holy Spirit in your heart before, where you can say just as confidently as the Apostle Paul, I know I believe it, and I know that he's going to keep that which I have committed unto him against that. I felt that, and I hope that you felt that, because that's justification by faith. That's the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And that is how we have to live our life.
Right.
Just like Habakkuk. You have to have that foundation when you see society crumbling, which is what Habakkuk saw. He saw society crumbling all around him, and he just had the Lord tell him it was going to get worse. And by the way, you need to just sit here and wait it out. Wait it out? What is getting worse? The just shall live by his faith. Live with a confidence, a hope, a trust that when this world, that even if we have to endure sufferings here in this world, the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, the only person that can make that statement is someone that has faith.
Yeah.
Why? Because they have a knowledge, right? They have a knowledge of not just that internal born-again faith that's implanted in the Holy Spirit at the new birth, but a knowledge of the resurrection, a knowledge that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that changes the way you live your life, doesn't it? It does. And that's how we're supposed to live our life. The just shall live by faith.